Skagway continues to debate the terms of its lease with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. And the organization opposing the recall campaign against Governor Mike Dunleavy withdraws its appeal with the Alaska Supreme Court. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories and more are up next. Skagway attorneys say the municipality is not bound to consider White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad for a new lease, and that the railroad will not be compensated for improvements to the waterfront. Last month, the railroad warned Skagway to renew its waterfront lease or be prepared to pay compensation. The municipality hired Anchorage firm Brenna, Bell, and Walker to represent it regarding the lease. Last month's letter from the railroad's attorney to the municipality says Skagway should halt its work to solicit others to manage the port. The port has been controlled by the railroad since the 1960s. But attorneys for the municipality rejected that argument in a letter last week. Skagway's attorneys responded that any negotiation of a new lease is at the discretion of the assembly. The letter adds that the railroad's contamination of the port may disqualify it from consideration for a future lease. This fall, Skagway's assembly declared its intent to take over the municipal port after 2023 and seek proposals for the area that includes three deep-water docks that berth hundreds of cruise ships each summer. Skagway voters rejected White Pass Railroad's bid to renew the lease in a 2015 referendum. Skagway attorneys also rebutted the railroad's claim to compensation for improvements to the waterfront. Per the lease and the law, they argue, those improvements will belong to the city when the lease expires. The organization opposing the recall campaign against Governor Mike Dunleavy has told its lawyers to withdraw its appeal of the recall. Stand Tall with Mike said in a statement that the public is better served by devoting resources to educating the public why this recall is unjustified and a waste of public resources. The group also said it's clear that the Alaska Supreme Court is determined to let the recall effort go forward. Stand Tall with Mike is concerned about Chief Justice Bolger's ability to be impartial in the case. The group says the justice directly participated in the events that gave rise to one of the recall charges. A clerk for the court said she told lawyers in a conference call on Friday that she wasn't aware that Bolger would recuse himself and that if anyone had a concern, they should file a motion. Dunleavy responded to Stand Tall with Mike's announcement while talking with Alaska Public Media's Lori Townsend on Talk of Alaska. He said he recently heard rumblings about the decision.
The belief was that it was pointless to continue with the legal approach to this. And
would be the recourse? I mean, what would they propose to do if you can't go to the courts?
That the courts are going to put this on the ballot, and then we have a campaign.
Recall Dunleavy campaign manager Claire Pywell says Stand Tall with Mike's statement was a disappointing attack on the Supreme Court.
And it shows they haven't learned their lesson. They still are showing this lack of respect for other branches of government, and they're continuing to attack the judicial branch.
A spokesperson for the Department of Law said the state will continue its appeal seeking to block the recall from moving forward. It believes the division's decision and an opinion by the state's attorney general were correct and that the issues need to be addressed by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled last week that the recall campaign can start gathering signatures. It will require more than 71,000 to put the recall on the ballot. Imagine a middle school band class. Rows of fidgety students, shiny brass instruments, reams of sheet music with neatly printed notes. But what if instead of reading quarter notes and triplets and three-part harmonies off of a page, you played music based on a drawing? KCAW's Ari Snyder reports.
For the most part, it looks like a normal day in the Blatchley Middle School band class. Students playing all sorts of instruments, a conductor up front. But today they're not following sheet music, not really. Instead, they're experimenting with a technique called sound painting.
So right now we're doing sound painting, which is actually free composing without talking.
Leading the class is visiting artist Ed Littlefield, a Tlingit musician and graduate of the Sitka School District who currently lives in Seattle.
So instantaneous, I direct or whoever directs the band and it becomes the piece of the minute and it's never going to be the same ever again.
Littlefield treats the orchestra like a color wheel, using hand gestures like a brush to build a piece of music in real time. He points to an individual horn player to get things started, using the gesture for melody. Then another motion to cut it off before bringing in a whole group of horns. Littlefield is something of a hometown hero in Sitka, having taken his skills in Tlingit music and jazz to orchestras, symphonies, and other groups throughout Alaska and the Pacific Northwest. This particular project is a week-long residency, part of a partnership between the school district, University of Alaska Southeast, and the Fine Arts Camp. But the students aren't just playing whatever notes they want to when Littlefield points his invisible paintbrush at them. He's given them a melody to start off with.
Kind of using one of the Tlingit lullabies, Dleguk, called Haguse, as a kind of a jumping off point.
Drew Larson, the Blatchley music teacher whose class Littlefield is teaching today, says delving into visual composition has helped broaden the students' musical understanding.
Because they get to explore some new sounds they haven't been able to think of as music before.
Larson also says he's happy to turn his class over to a visiting artist like Littlefield to help introduce his students to new ideas.
Seeing the students dig in and do something they haven't done before and gain from the experience of the person in front of them is always exciting. Anytime that's an option, I jump at that opportunity.
For the next activity, they switch gears, jumping into graphic composition. Each student has a piece of paper with four adjectives written on it. Happy, ragged, lonely, soft, for example. Their task is to make a drawing based on each word.
And essentially, every piece of music is a visual score, but we're turning it into graphic musical scores, which is a shape or patterns or just colors or things that are representative of music.
We ready? Yes, what?
The students set down their instruments and scatter themselves around the band room, more or less abiding by the instructions to work quietly. A quick survey of their drawings revealed a range of artistic techniques, from stick figures to abstract shapes. Eventually, the students will become conductors themselves, leading the class in an original piece of music based on their drawings. It's unconventional and puts a lot of responsibility on the students. But Littlefield says that's pretty much the point.
Because I really find that these visual scores are very empowering for students of all abilities, because essentially you just have to make a mark on a page, and then that mark becomes music, and then that is your piece of music.
And it's also a drawing, a piece of music you could be proud to hang up on the fridge. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ari Snyder.
For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also listen to the news anywhere you get your podcasts.